that's coming down the aisle that his chiropractor was Bill Worm back in New York. Probably you are familiar with Bill Werner, particularly you fellows up east, in the greater New York area in particular. But Dr. Sid and I first heard of Bill Werner when we were students at Harvard. And Bill Werner was talked about, but he hadn't been seen on campus while we were there. The reason he hadn't been seen on campus is he and BJ had some friction. And the friction existed in the fact that Bill had gone back to New York. Dedicated chiropractor, outstanding chiropractic lecturer, and had developed a lay organization, one of the largest lay organizations ever developed in chiropractic. At one time, I believe I recall, he had some 15,000 in Madison Square Garden, and one chiropractor get in, 18,000. And the word was out that Bill Werner took the position, you don't just get results and get your lay people to speak for you. You don't need to advertise. At least that was what we thought. And of course, BJ was always for promoting chiropractic, whichever way you could promote it, as long as it was ethical and truthful in what you did. And so they had had a little rift. But at the Lyceum in about 1959, we were at, in Dallas. Oh, I can tell you, it was earlier than that, I believe. 1957. But we heard Bill Werner was going to be on the program. We got excited because we heard of all these words back in New York. At any rate, he spoke, one of the findings, as I was telling Dr. Sarasota, one of the finer chiropractic messages that we've ever heard at that time, a dynamic chiropractor. He was chiropractor to this gentleman right here. And I was asking him how many years in chiropractic. He said, well, that when I started in chiropractic, as soon as you entered school, you were a chiropractor. You didn't have to wait till you got out, you were a chiropractor right then. And he was talking about 62 years, I think, is the time frame he mentioned, having been involved in chiropractic. And Dr. Pasquale Sarasola, he's been here on our program. He's been out at Life College. He has a lovely lady friend who is a student out of Life College. In fact, Oliva is in class with my son Buddy in seventh quarter, already started the league on him, already halfway through the end of this quarter. But we're delighted to have Dr. Sarasola back again. Many of you people from the New York area encouraged us to get Dr. Sarasola on the program. We've been on the program, as I mentioned before. We're just delighted to have him back with us again to lead off our program this Saturday morning. Please help me welcome Dr. Pasquale Sarasola.
Thank you very kindly. Now, last night, as I was in this lobby out here, many people said to me, you better get the beds and get ready. I said to them, you better get the beds and get down here. When you become a chiropractor, sleep doesn't mean much. You live. And live as long as you can, and live the best that you can. Of course, there's only one purpose, and that is to serve chiropractic. And that's all I'm going to talk to you about today is chiropractic, nothing else. But I think this is what you want to hear, chiropractic. Now, I got into chiropractic because I was a tremendously sick person. When I was 3 years old, I was vaccinated in order to enter school. And about 2 or 3 weeks after the vaccination, I came down with a fever, and when the doctor was called, he diagnosed it as post-vaccinal meningitis. And in those days, we didn't have the powerful drugs that they have today, which I'm very happy for, because I probably would not be here at this moment if we did. I might have gotten over the meningitis, but the complications would have killed me probably 20 or 30 years later. So So as soon as I got well, without the complication of the drugs, I am still here with you. But getting well was not enough, because I remained sick. And 1 week out of every month, I would break down with fevers. And that happened 1914. And if you are some sort of a historian, you realize that the First World War started in 1914. And so then my war within me starts in 1914. And when I was 30 years old, I was introduced to chiropractic. And as you heard, one of the greats, I said one, there were many greats. In those days, being a chiropractor, you had to have the fortitude, the courage of your conviction, and you had to have a feeling for chiropractic, because it was illegal, especially in the state of New York, when chiropractors kept going to jail, and then when they were in jail, they were supported, that is, their families were supported by other chiropractors. Other chiropractors would go into the offices of the chiropractors who were in jail and work there, support the families of those chiropractors who were in jail. Now, it was not just the males that went in jail, it was also the females that went to jail. So you see, you are sitting here because of people who had convictions. And this was Dr. Bill Twiner, better known as Bill. And I heard Bill talk many times, but when I received my first adjustment from Bill, I have never had a fever since. Of course, I didn't get well with one adjustment. It took many adjustments. It was about 4 or 5 years before I could stand straight again. I was completely bent over. And naturally, in 1940, I entered school. And in 1943, I graduated. And after graduating, I was taken into the war, Second World War. So you see, I got done with one World War inside of me, and then I had to go out and take care of the second one. And I was inducted into the Navy, and I made my business to get into the medical corps, not because I wanted to become a medical man. I had enough experiences with them. I knew what they could do and what they couldn't do. And what they did not only helped you for the moment, but left a scar that was detrimental, that were complications. Now this is a beauty part of chiropractic once you understand the chiropractic. So in the war, I was in this medical corps, and finally I ended up in the Pacific, and I ended up in Okinawa. And even in Okinawa, I gave adjustments on the battlefield. Now you're probably asking, what is a sailor doing in the battlefield? As you all know, if you don't, you will learn something now, that the Marine Corps has no medical corps. And when they are in battle, the Navy lends them the medical corps, medical corpsmen. So I was out there in the field. And I adjusted boys who were, as we said in those days, had battle fatigue. In the First World War, we called it shell shock. And you'll be surprised what could be done for them. And you'll be surprised what chiropractic can do for many other things. So I want you to realize that chiropractic is not something that treats something. Chiropractic is a way of living. It must become a way of thinking. And it is your way of thinking that will make you practice that way. Now remember, in this universe, no matter what, before anything can happen, there has to be a thought somewhere. Just think of it. You want to do something. But before you do it, you have to have a thought. So the thoughts, what we think about chiropractic, how we think about chiropractic, what is chiropractic? Have we actually scratched it completely, or are we just scratching the surface? As far as I'm concerned, as you heard, I've been chiropractic now 62 years, and as a professional, 52 years, I believe I have just scratched the surface of this awesomeness called chiropractic. The chiropractic deals with that awesomeness. Now what is that awesomeness? Just think of a sperm and an egg getting together. And when they do, about 12 to 36 hours later, they start to divide and multiply. And according to the blueprint, that awesomeness, according to that blueprint, will build, whether it be a kitten, a puppy, a child, or what have you. It is that awesomeness that you are working with. Never, never forget it. And this is why, when an egg and a sperm comes together, it takes time for that awesomeness to build that particular creature. And when you, which us people, it takes time for that awesomeness to repair the damage that has been done to us. So if someone doesn't get well in one or two adjustments, don't become discouraged. Just think. Time. More time. We need time. Plenty of time. For chiropractic needs that time. Now I look at chiropractic as that awesome one. We just give it another name. But of course it means to do with the hand, or the hands of your life. And I think the day will come not so far from here when chiropractors who actually understand that awesomeness that no one but no one will ever, ever get the answer to. When they understand it, they will perform miracles far greater than we ever, ever thought of. But I will tell you this. No one must dictate to you to tell you that this particular patient, because it has some sort of a syndrome or some sort of an accumulation of symptoms that we call an illness or a disease, and it requires only 10 adjustments. And when we do that, we have sold our souls, my dear people. Do you realize what we have done to this profession? Do you realize that? If it weren't for chiropractic, I could not stand here and talk to you. Maybe, in this profession, what we need is to make everyone sick so bad and then let him or her come back true chiropractic, so that each one can understand what chiropractic is about. So I stand in front of you, not as a 16-year-old or an 18-year-old, but someone who is 81 years old. And I could not stand in front of you at this age and be here at 9 o'clock, and all you young people worried about whether I would get enough sleep or not. I was wondering whether you would get this one, but I'm here because I know a chiropractic. It is chiropractic that has put me here. It is chiropractic that has given me back what I was looking for all these years. Now, when I used to get these fevers, 1 week out of every month, I would lie in bed, and I would pray to whoever could listen to me, and say, please, show me the way to get well. And when you show me the way to get well, I too will go out and assist those people who are sick. And I kept my covenant. And I am still keeping my covenant by getting around talking to people, talking to the young ones. It seems that somehow our message has been lost. It seems that we want to emulate the very things or the very people that try to execute us, that try to get rid of us, that try to take chiropractic away from us. And that is my personal opinion, because they couldn't take us away. Now they have indoctrinated us that we need this, that, the other thing before we give an adjustment. The very same things that they say that we cause are the very same causes that these people came to us and received the benefits that they were looking for. So I had a very, very large practice, one of the biggest in the state of New York, about 1,500 adjustments a week. And never in my whole 40 years of practice have any adjustment given in that building in Brooklyn ever caused a stroke, ever caused anything that was detrimental to a person. Think of it. So don't let anybody tell you that you need this, that, the other thing. Don't let anybody tell you that you must check these people out to see if they are chiropractic, so to speak. Every patient, every person out there, regardless of his or her situation, deserves to be adjusted. I hope you hear that. And it is only through us, the chiropractic thoughts, when we become chiropractic, when will we have a better world out there? Only through chiropractic will we eliminate wars. Only through chiropractic will we eliminate wants. Do you think it's fair that three or four people have practically all the wealth in the world while some people are starving to death? It is only through chiropractic that the scales that are not balanced will become balanced. This is where you are. You're not here only to get rid of people's baggage or whatever they have. You are here to help them make a transition So their structure will change, and when our structure changes, so will they. Morality is a function of a structure, and if anyone is immoral, it is because his or her structure is so. And the only way in order for a person to become moral, or that is to live in harmony with his or her neighbor, is for that person to change his or her structure. Remember, structure determines function. Now, I didn't say structure, function. I said structure determines function. You cannot separate the function from the structure, any more can you separate the function or the structure from the function, or the function from the structure. They're inseparable. But as we change structure, the function becomes changed. So as I was lying in that bed and hoping that I could find a way, I found the way in 1930. I received my first adjustment. It took me almost 4 or 5 years to become completely well. And then in 1940, as I said, I entered school to become a chiropractor. And in those days, as soon as you got into school, you were a chiropractor. We didn't wait for a diploma to become a chiropractor. Now, many of you may think that it was different in those days. It's harder today. Let me make some parallels. In those days, practically every state had no license. And the states that had licenses was almost impossible to get into. And we practiced without a license. We had a price over our head. We could go to jail. You don't have that today. Or you may say, well, we graduate with a tremendous debt. We didn't. But we were always in debt because it cost us money to stay in practice, and it cost us money in order to keep our practice going. It cost us money to see that certain laws were never passed to actually outlaw us. So, whatever we earned, we put back. And it was a never-ending debt. So I've made some parallels for you. You have a better opportunity today to practice chiropractic than anyone else ever had. But you must understand the principle behind it, and that principle is that awesomeness that works through that thought of positivity in order to make the repairs, or in order to build that creature from that little strip that's in it. That is chiropractic, and no more and no less. Now let me tell you some of the cases that I handle. Now remember, when I say I handle it, it means that the chiropractic in me came out and served these people, chiropractic. It is the same if you go into a good restaurant and you get good food. You are served that food. Now that food will become you eventually. The chiropractic I served was the best that I could serve, with the best of my intentions, and also with understanding what chiropractic was working with that awesomeness, with that unknown. And this is the way I gave chiropractic to my patients. What technique did I use? That is not the point.
The point is, I gave chiropractic. You use whatever technique suits you. And this is why we have so many, because we are all different. So you pick the one that suits you. I have a technique that's the best for me, maybe not for you. So I'm not here to talk about techniques, but I know it's going around in your head. Which bone did you move, or what did you do? I gave it chiropractic, period. Do you understand that? I gave it chiropractic. You do the same out there. Give it chiropractic. Nothing else. Don't think, well, does it need vitamins? Does it need homeopathic medicine? Or does it need acupuncture? Or does it need this machine or that machine? That is not chiropractic. Now, if they need that, or any of those, there are enough people out there to let them go to. But please believe me, once you deliver the goods, very seldom, if ever, will any person need anything else. Very seldom, if ever. Now, here's a particular case I was thinking about. Particular person named Bill coming into my office, and one day he was sad, and I asked him, "What's wrong, Bill? You don't look happy." He said, "My sister is home, and she's dying of cancer, and she's in excruciating pain. All the drugs cannot alleviate her." And finally he asked me, "Would you come and look at her?" I said I would, and a day later I went to the home. In those days we weren't that happy or that free to send people to hospitals as we do today. And so I went to the home, and I saw this poor little woman, probably no more than 90 pounds, just crying in agony with pain. And next to her, she had a table full of drugs. And Bill said to me, "All these drugs here does not do a thing for her." And so I took Bill into the next room. I asked Bill, "What do you expect of me, Bill?" He said, "Do you think you can let my sister rest? I know she's going to die. Can you let her rest?" I said, "I can't do anything but adjust her." And I did. Now, you're told not to take cancer cases, aren't you? Now, we worked against the law, and we defied the law. And I adjusted this person. 3 days later, this woman had no more pain. She needed no more drugs. Now remember, I'm not talking for myself, I'm talking for chiropractic. Oh, surely she died about 7 or 8 months later. I would go up 1 or 2 or 3 times a week to adjust her, to keep her in that state where she would not need drugs and yet live without pain. Here is a case of dying in dignity. Why should you be denied the right to help people to die in dignity? Huh? If you want to be a chiropractor that has chiropractic in it, you better get the message. The message is that you're serving people regardless of what they have or what it is for. Oh yes, die in dignity. Now here's another case which I talked about at the school this week. This child of 9 months old was brought into my office. Nothing but a limp rag doll, carried in by her mother. child at 6 months old had middle ear infection. The high power drugs were given to her. That time we had them. And she went into a convulsion. And from then on, for the 3 months duration before the mother found about chiropractic, that child was in that convulsive state. She could not see, she could not hear, she could not eat, just staying there. Eyes never moved from side to side. And mother asked me, what can be done? Now remember, I didn't give this child any physical examination.
What? I don't have to.
I didn't give it any orthopedic, just that, the other thing. When I looked at this child, I knew that this child needed chiropractic. Now whether or not chiropractic would respond would be according to the damage done to the patient. So I took the case around. And about 4 or 5 weeks later, there seemed to be no apparent progress. And the woman said to me, I am getting discouraged. And my answer to her was, I don't know why you are getting discouraged, because I'm not discouraged. See, I have and still have the courage of my convictions. And these are my convictions. If there is that awesomeness working, and if that blueprint has not been destroyed, then that awesomeness will bring that patient back. So about 3 weeks after that, which is about 8 to 9 weeks, as I had the child on his back, or her back, was a female, a little girl, I noticed one thing. For the first time, she started moving her eyes from side to side. Her mother was on my left-hand side, and she looked at the mother and said, Mommy. Now, if you think that doesn't give you some sort of satisfaction, you will know what the satisfaction is when this happens to you. And of course, the mother got on her knees and kissed my hand, and I knew woman calling me Jesus Christ. This time I wasn't Jesus Christ, but she kept it up, and I said to myself, Lord, is this so? But anyway, just to bring on the years, 2 years ago, this young lady sent me an invitation. She was getting married, and I attended her wedding. And in the wedding, she had me stand up and tell the people that if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be here today. You know, you could give me all the property in the whole world. And you could give me every car that's out there, all the wealth of all the people. But that particular moment can never, never be born. And this is all I ever wish on you, these moments. This is only one of the great moments that can happen to this. This is chiropractic. I didn't care what anybody said. She was incurable. Put her in an institution. Institutionalize her. Forget you ever had a daughter. I didn't care about those words. Matter of fact, they went right over my head. And they even enter one ear and out the other, they went around it. All I knew that if this child had one little chance, it was only through chiropractic and nothing else.
And she got well. And today she's well. But I learned also when I got to that wedding that she was working in a bank as a teller. Now here's a child who was supposed to be put away and never, never be aware of her surroundings. This is what she has. Think of it. I told you I came here to speak of one thing only, chiropractic, and nothing else. Because chiropractic is so awesome that words cannot express it. You have to feel it, you have to sense it, and you have to experience it. Oh, sure, we get these people that come in and they have a little backache or maybe a cold and one, two, three, they disappear. But how about the so-called incurable, the so-called impossible that you make possible? Think of it. Where do you stop? Never. Because if you want those cases that are supposed to be impossible, then you have to take them. Because you'll never know unless you take them. Now don't give me any baloney, I'll use a very strong language, that the law says this and the law says that. The only thing I can tell you, the hell with the law, save chiropractic to your people, and this is what you have to do. And that law is not written by man, and that law is written by that awesome one, and that awesome one tells me, this is my job, and I do it. This is your job, do it. And if you don't want to do it, I'm going to be very blunt with you. Get the hell out of my profession. We don't need you. Oh, you're worrying about whether you'll make money or not. You'll make money. And as I said, once you pay that debt off, you'll keep that money. You will have to keep pushing it back into the profession as we did. Do you realize that many successful chiropractors died as paupers? Did they die as paupers because they were drunkards? No. Did they die as paupers because they were gamblers? No. They died as paupers because they took that money that they earned, and much of it went back into the profession so that you and I could be here today. Think of it. Where is that monument for these unknown, unsung heroes? No names have to be given. Just put up some sort of a monument for these people who were ahead of us, who didn't care about the man written law, but understood only one law, and that law is chiropractic, which comes from that awesome man. Are you willing to take such a vow? Are you willing to take such a covenant with yourself? Not with me, with yourself. You have to live with yourself. You don't have to live with me or anybody else. You, I can go to bed at night and I can go to sleep. Because never once have I ever, ever did anything in this profession that was never, never right. I deliver the goods, and the goods is chiropractic. You understand that? Chiropractic. As I said before, chiropractic hasn't yet scratched the surface. We can't explain it completely yet.
many of us should take our philosophies, put them together, clean them up here and clean them up there, and get a philosophy that will never, never collapse. Chiropractic is in a tunnel, and many of us have tunnel vision, including me. But in that tunnel vision, I have a sense of that awesomeness outside of that tunnel, which is a light. And that light is perfect. And chiropractic is perfect. Now, I'd like to give you an example of what I mean. It's a parallel, but we can only understand things by parallels or analogies, if you like. Well, let's assume on this wall I have an oil painting that passed all the critics. And every critic would tell me it is perfect. There is absolutely nothing wrong with it. And because of its perfection, I put it into a glass cage or frame. And then I stuck the air out with some sort of a pump, knowing now the air can't get at it, it will be preserved. And being preserved means it's going to remain that way. It's perfection. Now think of that, the chiropractic. Perfect. Now I look at this picture every day. Well, one day I leave, and I have to come to DE and to Life College and maybe some other colleges as I do to talk to the students. And then when I come home 4 or 5 months later, the first thing I want to see is that perfect picture. And I come and I look at it. And to my disappointment, the picture is not perfect. So I go close to the picture, and I notice something on that glass. And I rub my finger on the glass. It is dust. And through that streak, I see the picture. So I take a cloth and clean the glass. The picture is perfect. Now that the glass is clean, the picture comes out as an image of cleanliness, of perfection. In each one of us, there is a chiropractic. And how do we make that image come out? Depends upon us. How clean are we with our thoughts? Do we have a glass that's dusty? It's the same if I have these electric lights here. If dust collects on them, you don't get all the light coming out, even though you are paying for that particular electricity. You don't get the full benefit. So we have to clean up our act. And this is what it's meant. Cleaning up our act. Get rid of the debris. Get rid of the junk. Get rid of the non-wanted people in our profession. Get rid of those things that are preventing us from being what we should be. Oh, today you hear the chiropractors are good for backaches. And I think we ought to take that phrase and rephrase it. Let chiropractic come back. Never mind backache, let it come back. Let's get rid of that dust. So inside of all of us is that perfection. And if some chiropractors get better results than the other, I said I was going to talk really about chiropractic, but now I have to talk about something a little less. Don't think that he or she has a better technique. He or she knows how to let that chiropractic come out, regardless of the technique. I hope you understand that. It's what you think, it's what you feel, it's what you sense. So we all have tunnel vision today, because once we get through this tunnel, and I think it's not too far away, some of us are seeing the light already. Now once we get out into that light, then you watch what chiropractic really is. This that we are using now is only a stepping stone to perfection. Yes, humans will become man, either male or female, and man will be perfect. He or she will never suffer want. He or she will never suffer any illness. He or she will never shed tears. She will not travail, which means hard labor for birth. This is what we're here for. We're not here for anything else. We're here to help humankind to make a transition to become perfect. So before I get off this platform, I wish to express one thing, and that all of us are the crowning creation. There is no creation. Once we realize it, that each one of us is different from our neighbor, so how can anyone tell any one of us that it must be done precisely this way? Or we can tell them that there is a certain basis. Once we learn the basis, then you and I do it our way. And someone has, we do it your way. Yes, you do it your way. For this is chiropractic. Now let chiropractic shine out of you. Let it be that glory. Let it be that brilliance that comes out of you. And if you stay in that office with that attitude, no patient will ever doubt you, because they'll know that you know, and this is all that counts. Nothing else. And with these words, I will bid you farewell.
Tremendous message.
Okay.